The book of Genesis, chapter 25, Genesis 25, verse 21 and 23. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived, but the children struggled together within her. I'm more interested in verse 22. Bible says, but the children struggled within her, and she said, if all is well, why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Rebecca was pregnant, as the story is. At some point, there was a struggle within her womb, and that troubled her. And because she got troubled, she went to the Lord. And when she sought the Lord revealed to her that she was carrying twin babies. And the Bible says, two nations are in your womb. I believe this is a picture of every one of us, that within each of us, there are two nations. Sometimes we are vexed. There are two nations inside every one of us. There is a spiritual nation and there is a physical nation. If you read the Bible, if you are a Bible reader, you will know that when these children were born, that is Esau and Jacob, Esau, the firstborn, messed up his life because of he came back one day from the hunt. He had not caught anything. He was very hungry. And his brother had the porridge, and he sought to eat some of the brother's porridge. And the brother was smart and said, no, I'll only give it to you if you sell me your birthright. And the Bible says, and Esau said, after all, I'm about to die. What is this birthright going to do for me? How is it going to help me? And the brother said, swear to me. And the Bible says he swore. And the brother gave him part of his porridge, and he ate and went away. And the Bible says he despised his birthright. The stories that follow are very heartbreaking, that later on Esau sought to get back his birthright with vehement cries, but he could not get it back. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to tell you that within us there are two nations. There is a spiritual man within us, the spirit man within us. But outside, we have a physical body. Now, if you read in your Bibles, the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16, Galatians 5, 16 to 17, you say, I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But as many as are led by the Spirit, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, Paul writing to the Galatians says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And the Bible says, these two are contrary. They are fighting one another. Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 7, for the sake of time, he writes and says, he portrays a picture of a struggle within him. And he says, the things that I desire to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. And he says, what a wretched man I am. And this is just to show you that there is a struggle within each one of us. And that struggle is between the physical and the spiritual, between the inner man and the outward man. And the Bible has told us that we should walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What our flesh lusts after is contrary to what our spirit is after. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verses 12 says, we are not debtors to the flesh. We are not indebted to the flesh. Let us look at that. The book of Romans chapter 8, 12. Romans 8 and verses 12 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Bible has said we are not debtors to the flesh. What does that really mean? We are not debtors to the flesh. I believe we should not pay so much attention to the flesh. That is what I believe. We should not put too much emphasis to the flesh. Those who are here, I think it was last time, I shared with you, and I said, these bodies, the Bible calls it a house. The real you, the real me, lives in the inside. And when we leave this body will be laid back. It will go back to where it came from. And the spirit will go back to who gave it. And so these are the bodies, we are only living in these bodies. The real me is living inside the body. And sometimes we pay too much attention to our bodies and forget the real man in the inside of us. I'm not saying we should neglect our bodies. I'm not saying we should mishandle our bodies. Your body and my body, the Bible says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit lives in us. But I'm suggesting that we should not give too much attention to the body, to the point that we neglect the real man, who is in the inside of us. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I believe what was Jesus saying, that for you and me to live, we live on not just food. The life that we live is not just physical. It's more than physical. And we need the word in our hearts. We need the word in our lives. For you and I to be alive, we shall not live on only bread, but also by the word of the Lord. Now, what I believe is that the food that we eat, the physical food, is for the body, the physical body. And the word is for our souls. The word gives strength to our souls. And what happens when you spend, say, 2 days without eating? You know that physically you are weak. Now, what happens if your inner man is not fed for 2 days? You know that your inner man would equally be weak. And so I just want to challenge us this day that as we feed our physical, let us also care to feed our spiritual. As we spend money on the physical, let us also spend money. Let us also invest on our soul. Let us make investment into our souls. If you can afford to buy a book, a Christian book, I believe that is good. We should invest as well into Christian books, music, Christian, something that will benefit your soul as well. And so the Bible has said we are not debtors to the flesh. And as the Bible has said, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so let us be as much conscious about our spiritual lives. Let us not be overly concerned, overly caring for the physical man and neglecting our spiritual man. Now, the flesh is also called the old man or the outer man. If you open in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now, the point that I wanted to bring out is the Bible talks about this physical as the old man. And the Bible says the old man grows corrupt. It grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Deceitful lusts. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4. And verse 16, it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Even though our outward man is perishing. Again, the Bible mentions the word outward man. And now, The inner man is, in the Bible, I believe it's sometimes called, the spirit man, also known as the inner man. The inner man in the Bible, I believe, is the spirit man, created after Christ. And that is found in the book of Ephesians again, chapter 4, 24. You can also write the book of Romans 7, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 4:24. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true holiness, in true righteousness and holiness." And in 1 Peter 3, 4. To get the story, let's begin from verse 3. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they without word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward arranging of the hair, wearing gold, or putting on of fine apparel, but rather let it be the hidden man of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Now, the Bible didn't say that women should not put on, they should not make their hair, they should not put on jewel. The Bible didn't say that. But it says, on top of that. And I believe that doesn't only apply to women, but it also applies to the male. That within us, there is a hidden man. Within us, there is an inner man. And the Bible says, the hidden person of the heart. And the Bible says, with the incorruptible beauty. So the point that I'm bringing out is, within us, there is a hidden man. A man of the heart. And that man is the real you, and that man is the real me. What we see on the outside, as I've already said, is simply where we live. And as I've already said, I didn't say we should neglect our bodies. That is not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we need to acknowledge that within us there is an inner man that needs to be taken care of. And it is that inner man that is the real you, that is the real me. And now, what do we have to do? What does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible tells us to put off the old man. The Bible says, "Put off the old man and put on the new man." Put off the old man. Ephesians chapter 4 again. Ephesians chapter 4 again. Verse 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24. And the Bible says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The Bible says, we put off, you put off, I put off. Nobody is going to do it for you. It is your responsibility, and it is my responsibility to put off. I believe what does it mean, putting it off? It means we should yield our bodies. Yield your body. Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I discipline my body. I put it under subjection. Ladies and gentlemen, God is calling us to yield our bodies. Now, it takes your will. It involves your will. It involves my will. When God created you and me, he did not create us to be robots. He created us with a will. He created us with a mind. And one of the things that requires to be redeemed is my mind, your mind. If the mind is not renewed, if the mind is not redeemed and put into alignment with the will of God, it may be hard to serve him. It may be hard to walk with God. Because as the Bible has said, what the flesh desires is contrary to what the Spirit desires. And we must yield ourselves. As I said, there has to be a willingness. You must will to do it. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You present your body. I present my body. And as I've already said, there has to be a will. And sometimes our wills are stubborn. Sometimes we resist the things of God, but we must continually bring ourselves under subjection. The book of James, chapter 4, should be verse 7, says, submit yourself under God. I have to submit myself. You have to submit yourself. Submission is something that you have to do it by yourself. It's not you. The pastor is not going to pray for you that you might submit yourself. If it is a problem of the will, you don't need prayer. Prayer will not help your will. You simply need to make a decision that I will submit to God. So if it is a matter of the will, I have met a lot of people sometimes who they have a problem with their will, but they want to be prayed for. And so I am saying that if it is a matter of the will, make a decision. I have to make a decision then to say, I will submit myself. And remember, the Bible has said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. You present your body as a sacrifice, but you are not dead. You are still living. You are still alive. You still have the passions. You still see the things that the world sees. You still have the five senses. And so, I'll give you an example. One of my relatives had a dog. It was a German Shepherd, and this dog was rowdy. One day he was walking the dog, and as it came behind him, it bit him. And so he brought a policeman who trains dogs. And I watched this dog. It was very stubborn. But the policeman tricked it and put something on its neck. First of all, he instilled some pain to subject it. Then when he brought it to where he wanted it to be, there is something that he placed on its head and left it there for some few days. And all the time, this dog was subjected. It could not lift its head. Now, when he came back and removed that gadget, the dog had been subjected. Now, sometimes our wills are like that. If you cannot do it yourself, I'm sorry to say that maybe God needs to help you. Maybe. But you know that is not pleasant. It's not pleasant. If God loves you, God loves me, and he will not let you and me perish. He will go an extra mile to help you. But as I've said that, we should do it ourselves. Let us submit ourselves. And how do we submit? We submit by walking, following the word, walking in the word. Let the word of the Lord be a light of our a light to our path, and a lamp to our feet. And so the old man needs to be put off. And as we've already looked at, the Bible has said we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. Present your body a living sacrifice. Nobody's going to do it for you. You are going to do it, and I'm going to do it. And the book of let us continue to verse 25, Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, these are some of the things that we should as well put off. The Bible talks about anger. The anger, we all get angry. Even God gets angry. But we should be slow to anger. The other thing, the Bible says that when you get angry, do not let your anger lead you to sin. So if you have a problem with anger, I believe anger is sin. We may call it a weakness, but I believe God wants us to do away with it. As I said, we all get angry. But if you cannot control your anger, then there is a problem there. You do things, when you get angry, you box the wall. When you get angry, then you have a problem. And God must help you. God must help us. And so... As I am about to wind up, let us look at the book of Colossians, chapter 3, 12 to 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which... Excuse me. Okay, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. And be thankful. And let the word of the Lord, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And so, we should, after we have put off the old man, the Bible encourages us to put on a new man. And the Bible says we should put on tender mercies. We should be kind. We should be humble. We should be meek. We should be long-suffering. We should be bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And the list goes on and goes on. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the Lord is calling us to walk with him. The Lord is calling us to put off the old man. As I have already said, it involves your will. And if there is one area that we need purity in the church, it's up here. It's in our minds. I believe that God wants us to have pure minds. And so many times we neglect our minds. But I want to encourage us that we should not neglect our minds. People stop doing the things that they used to do in the world, and then we get into the church, but we still think like we used to think when we were in the world. And God is holy, as the Bible says, and God wants us to be holy. I believe that God wants my mind to be pure. God wants your mind to be pure. I know that it's not easy, but God never told us to do what we cannot do. God requires that we should have pure minds. God requires that we should be pure before him, that our spirits may be our recreated spirits may rule over our bodies. As I wind up, I want to say that your spirit man should rule your physical man. My spirit man, my inner man, should rule my outward man. This flesh does not want to do certain things. But as the Bible has said, let us not be overly conscious, overly concerned about this physical, to the point that we neglect our inner man. Remember, you have a man, the real you is in the inside. The real me is on the inside. And we should not neglect that inner man. I want to thank you so very much. And as I've already said, let us help our minds to be pure. Let us help our minds to be pure. And how do we do that? Let us spend time in the Word, read the Word, listen to the Word. And as we do that, our minds will be redeemed. I want to thank you so much, and God bless you.